Tuesday afternoon, January 28th. We're up another degree. It's currently 41 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Republican-backed candidate in Wisconsin's pivotal state Supreme Court race says he thinks anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement officers should serve their entire sentence. But Brad Schimmel also said he didn't object to President Donald Trump using his power to pardon. Schimmel made the comment Monday when asked about Trump's granting of clemency to about 1,500 rioters who were convicted of crimes related to the role in the 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Later in a written statement, Schimmel appeared to disagree with Trump's pardons and said that anyone convicted of assaulting law enforcement should serve their full sentence. Republicans want voters to curb the uniquely expansive partial veto powers that Wisconsin governors from both parties have enjoyed for nearly a century. Wisconsin is the only state where governors can partially veto spending bills by striking words, numbers, and punctuation to create new meaning or spending amounts. In most states, governors can only eliminate or reduce spending amounts. Republican state lawmakers on Monday took the latest swing at reducing the veto powers, proposing a constitutional amendment that would eliminate a governor's powers to delete words and rework sentences in bills that spend taxpayer money. The Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature has asked that a liberal state Supreme Court justice step aside in a pending case that seeks to overturn a 2011 law that effectively ended collective bargaining for most state workers. If Justice Janet Protasiewicz agrees not to hear the case, the court would be deadlocked 3-3 between liberals and conservatives. A Dane County Circuit judge last month overturned the bulk of the law. The judge determined it was unconstitutional. The judge put the ruling on hold pending the appeal. Unions that brought the case have asked the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take it directly, skipping the appeals court. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin says she's ready to work with Republicans. The Wisconsin Democrat, who won a third term in November, says she looks forward to meeting with Republican colleagues. During a town hall video conference Monday with constituents in southwestern Wisconsin, Baldwin said her office is scheduling those meetings now. Issues she hopes to address include the bipartisan border security bill, which Baldwin said was tanked by politics in the last Congress. Now that the election is over, she wants to bring that back up and pass it. Baldwin also hopes to address child care and housing costs and defend against changes to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to cut Democrats out of the confirmation process for President Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Speaking on WISN's Up Front on Sunday, the Wisconsin Republicans said Democrats are dragging their heels and that Republican leadership should move to using recess appointments. It took around 100 days for President Obama's and President Trump's first cabinets to be appointed, and 50 days for President Biden. Johnson also says he generally approves of the presidential pardons issued to those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, but that he wouldn't have pardoned those convicted of violent actions. He also voiced his approval of President Trump's increased action on immigration arrests, as well as the executive order to undo birthright citizenship. That matter is now in the courts after a federal judge blocked it last week. Proposed legislation would return state employees to the office. Representative Amanda Nowinski has introduced legislation along with state Senator Corey Tomczyk to return state employees to in-person work. Nowinski chairs the new Assembly Committee on Government Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency. The Pleasant Prairie Republican says nearly 5 years after the COVID pandemic, a significant number of state employees continue to work remotely while productivity diminishes and office buildings sit mostly empty. She cites two 2023 Legislative Audit Bureau reports highlighting use of telework and space management in state agencies in the UW system. The proposal requires that all state employees return to work in their physical offices by July 1st. Those whose job duties were already being performed off-site prior to March 2020 are exempt. In the race to lead the Democratic National Committee, Wisconsin's Ben Wickler is one of the favorites. He's facing Ken Martin of Minnesota and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Wickler also has been touting his record as a successful fundraiser here in the Badger State. Seven governors have now endorsed Wickler, plus Governor Tony Evers here in Wisconsin. Four of those governors are voting members themselves, including Laura Kelly of Kansas, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Andy Beshear of Kentucky, and Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico. They've urged members in their state to vote for Wickler, which could give him a boost. The election is on Saturday. Data shows lung cancer rates declining in Wisconsin. The report from the Wisconsin Cancer Collaborative says declining smoking rates, effective tobacco control policies and regulations, earlier diagnosis, and improved treatments are responsible for the decline. In Wisconsin, lung cancer deaths still outnumbered all prostate, breast, and colon cancer deaths combined. The five-year relative survival rate for lung cancer in Wisconsin is 29.4%. In Wisconsin, the majority of people with lung cancer are between the ages of 70 to 79. UW researchers find alcohol sales increase following mass shootings. The study found alcohol sales in communities hit by mass shootings persist for about 2 years after the event. Researchers looked at roughly 320 mass shootings from 2006 to 2019 and then compared alcohol sales from the same time range recorded by the Nielsen Retail Scanner database, which tracks over half of national grocery and drugstore sales. The study found that communities that experienced public mass shootings had around a 3 to 5% increase in alcohol sales for 2 years following the shooting. Lawmakers want Wisconsin to be the tipping point when it comes to certain exams under anesthesia. Right now, under Wisconsin law, medical students can do pelvic exams on patients while the patient is unconscious for educational purposes under the supervision of a doctor. 25 states have passed laws saying patients must give consent to these exams first. State Senator Andre Jacques says Wisconsin should be the 26th. This is the fourth session in a row the bill has been introduced. It's gotten bipartisan support in the past, but never made it to the final stages. State Republicans are proposing to ban cell phones in K-12 public school classrooms across Wisconsin. The proposed legislation would require school districts to implement their own policies for banning electronic devices like phones and tablets in the classroom. Some districts have put similar policies into effect already, many of which later backed off the cell phone ban amid criticism from students and parents. State lawmakers say the trickiest part of the policy would be districts figuring out the best way to actually enforce the bans. The Richland School District has 3 years to complete its capital referendum projects. With the help of PMA Financial, the district is investing bond proceeds at the same time that the referendum window is open and projects are being planned, completed, and paid for. Initially, $15 million was invested from the first sale of bonds into different investment categories, including government investment pools, treasuries, and CDs. As some of the short-term investments mature, they are returned into an investment pool. The district uses those liquid monies to pay referendum bills that are due. As of January 22nd, the Richland School District has paid $1.5 million in referendum expenses. Charlie Verbos, Director of Finance from PMA, gave an update to the Richland School District Board of Education at its meeting last night on the interest rates associated with the investments. Each month, the board is updated on various referendum projects. On April 2nd, residents of the Richland School District voted on 5 district-specific questions. 3 of those questions centered around board member seats, while the other 2 were regarding referendum questions. Referendum question 1 asked voters if they would support increasing the revenue limit by $2.3 million in 2024-25, $2.4 million in 2025-26, $2.5 million in 2026-27, and $2.6 million in 2027-28, with no increase to the tax rate. Question 2 asked voters if they would support the issuance of bonds, a form of a loan in an amount not exceeding $27 million $160,000 to be used for district upgrades on a variety of specific items. For more information regarding the referendum projects, including budgets and vendor inquiries, you can access a special website dedicated to the referendum projects. This page can be accessed directly from the Richland School District website or by going directly to richland.referendumfacts.org. The pupil count enrollment, the number of students actually enrolled at the Richland School District, is predicted to decrease slightly next year based on averages from the UW-Madison population study and the Baird financial model. The reported decline is from 1,142 students this year to 1,126 next year. Administrator Steve Board says this is strictly a projection, not an actual count. The district is optimistic that the projected number will be higher. As a result of the minimal change in the number of students, the district is planning to be staff neutral for 2025-26 school year. This may include changes and adjustments, but the district is planning for the same number of full-time equivalent positions for the 2025-26 school year. The Richland School District Foundation is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that supports the Richland School District. One of the primary functions of the foundation is to provide a tax-friendly opportunity for donations to be funneled mostly in the way of scholarships. The foundation houses several dozen scholarships. Some of these are pass-through funds where the donor writes a check to the foundation, which then passes it through the recipient. Other scholarships are funded less frequently, but kept in a quasi-escrow fund used for a specific purpose. The foundation has over $1 million in funds and was recently audited by the IRS. While this process went smoothly and mostly uneventfully, one of the findings was that the foundation needs to report its taxes annually to the Richland School Board. The 2023 audited tax statements filed with the IRS have been made available. The board approved the acceptance of funds from the Alliance for Wisconsin Youth, Wisconsin Wins Program, and the State Opioid Response. The funding sources have been identified to support the Partners for Prevention Coalition's efforts in preventing youth substance use and enhancing community engagement, of which the Richland School District is the fiscal agent for the coalition. Also, a number of gifts were accepted by the board for the Richland School District. A community forum is again being offered to provide Richland County residents with updates and an opportunity to ask questions. The forum, scheduled for this Wednesday, will be held at 6 at the Phoenix Center Banquet Hall. David Turk is chair of the Richland County Board of Supervisors.
We had a community meeting last year when we first started getting our assessment results back on the campus buildings. Mm-hmm. And Simons was not part of that. It was just the other buildings at the campus they were doing an assessment on. And it was very eye-opening, and in large part the news was not good. We have gotten more in-depth information since then. We'll share some of that at the forum coming up to let people know what the status is and what we know for sure. First and foremost, we know we got to replace a bridge because right now it's not safe to get heavy equipment across the existing bridges to even contemplate doing anything with the buildings. So that's a project that we'll get underway this spring, and we'll talk a little more about that. But yeah, just share information with folks where we stand. A lot of people are asking what's going to happen next. Well, we're still figuring out where we stand in a lot of ways. In addition to the condition of the buildings out there, there are other conversations about what the county's space needs are. Our courthouse is historic, but dated. Doesn't necessarily meet the needs of a modern courtroom in many ways. Our jail has longstanding issues and has had for a while now, and it's getting closer to the time where state inspectors may tell us, all right, you need to do something. So these are just some of the other factors that we're considering in looking at, okay, the county has space needs, so where do we have space? That's not to say, oh, we're going to put a jail on the campus part. No, that's not what we're saying, but we need to be thinking in those terms as we look at all the other things we're dealing with.
A time for questions and answers on topics such as the campus reconfiguration, the campus gymnasium, and Simons will be provided.
I'm looking forward to the question and answer part. People will ask questions, and at our last time we did this and got together, people had lots of questions. We'll give the best answers we're able to. Sometimes the answer is we don't know yet. And when ideas come up, there's a lot of great ideas that are talked about. You know, boy, it'd be great to make some of those happen. I'm not sure how we go about making that happen, but we'll have some conversations. We'll talk to the city, talk to the schools, whoever we want to talk to about some of the ideas that come up and potential future directions for things. Be there to talk at this community forum, but we're there to listen too. And that's just as important. Yes, we want to have transparency. Yes, we want to share information, but we also want to hear from people, whether it's questions, comments, thoughts, ideas. You know, we may not be able to make them happen instantly, but I love to hear some of those ideas and think, okay, well, how could we do that?
The Community Forum is a collaboration effort between Richland County, the City of Richland Center, the Richland School District, and Simons Recreation Complex.
Well, we'll see where people want to go. We're certainly going to focus on campus property. I'm very proud of what's going on at Simons with Mike and Kyle and the whole staff out there making some visible improvements that people are noting. And you hear the buzz in the community, people talking about it. The contributions of the foundation have been very significant in that. And while that may not represent a huge slice of our county budget, it's a very visible picture of the county, the city cooperating together. You know, there's interest in what can involvement of the school district be. We can talk about that. We are working on an MOU, a memorandum of understanding with the school district for them to be able to use the campus gymnasium for some activities. Haven't got that finalized yet, but we're working on it. So, you know, that's all part of recognizing that, yes, there is cooperation taking place among units of government, trying to get things to happen for the benefit of our whole community.
Everyone is encouraged to attend the community forum tomorrow night beginning at 6 at the Phoenix Center Banquet Hall. Ron Fruit will moderate the community forum, which will be recorded and made available on Nova Video's YouTube channel. The Community Players Trivia Night was a success. 18 teams competed to see who knew the most in 12 categories, such as Wisconsin counties, U.S. presidents, music, movies, and TV and slogans. The winning team with a score of 73 correct answers out of 108 questions was the Mastodons, fielded by Mastodon Records. In second place with a score of 72 was the Super Awesome Rad Guys, and in third place with a score of 71 was the Bronx Bombers. People also donated many items for the silent auction. Perhaps the most popular was the chance to be a guest DJ on Those Were the Days with host Phil Nee. Heidi Unbehan was the highest bidder, and she then gave the prize to her father, Dave. Next on the list for the community players will be the spring show, Escanaba in the Moonlight, set to open on March 14th, 15th, and 16th at the City Auditorium. For more information or to help out backstage, contact Andrew Sharp at 608-538-3848. According to Samaritan's Purse, the overwhelming generosity of the Richland Center area residents helped provide joy to children in need through Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gifts this season. Across the U.S., the Samaritan's Purse Project collected 10.5 million shoebox gifts in 2024. Combined with those collected from partnering countries in 2024, the ministry is now sending over 11.9 million shoebox gifts to children worldwide. For many children, this is the first gift they have ever received. Each shoebox gift is a tangible expression of God's love given to children in need around the world. Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child has collected and delivered more than 232 million gift-filled shoeboxes to children in more than 170 countries and territories. Across the region, shoebox packers often shop for deals on shoebox items throughout the year, and many serve at a deeper level by becoming a year-round volunteer. Information about ways area participants can get involved year-round can also be found at samaritanspurse.org/OCC. Although local Richland Center drop-off locations for shoebox gifts are closed until November 17th, anyone can still be a part of this life-changing project by conveniently packing a shoebox gift online in just a few simple clicks at samaritanspurse.org/buildonline. These simple gifts packed with love remind children around the world that they are loved and not forgotten. Today's winner of $25 in the Crime Stoppers calendar raffle is Greg Jelenic of Middleton on ticket number 152.